Welcome to the Global Discussion, discussions with creatives, leaders, and thinkers. My name is Simon Hodgkins, and today I'm joined by Anastasia Negru. Anastasia, you're very welcome to the show. Let's begin by asking you to introduce yourself to our worldwide audience. Tell us a little bit about the world you're involved in.
Thanks so much, Simon. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invite. I'm Anastasia. I'm the founder and CEO of Margins AI. We're based in Dublin, Ireland. We've been in the business starting with an idea back in 2019. Right now, we have a pretty cool technology. We've just spun out of TU Dublin. We were funded by Enterprise Ireland through the commercialization fund. So yeah, it's been an exciting journey so far, and we're really looking forward to see what the future brings.
Well, thank you for that whistle stop tour of the introduction, Anastasia. And it's interesting, you mentioned Enterprise Ireland there, and I think people sometimes forget that Enterprise Ireland, in their own rights, are quite an interesting VC. They're a big investor in companies, obviously coming out of Ireland. And it's great to hear that linked as well. But tell us a little bit more about this business that you're sort of the founder and the chief executive officer of. Tell us all about Margins AI. Where did the idea come from, and what exactly does it do?
So I'll just start with a small backstory. I'm originally from Moldova, and I have a medical degree. So I was supposed to become a doctor, even though I was very entrepreneurial since I was a kid. But I come from a very traditional family when it comes to, you know, paths in life. So my father is a lawyer and my mother is a judge. So it kind of flew into me becoming, you know, a doctor. But my diploma wasn't recognized when I moved here. I got married, I moved to Ireland. So I couldn't be a doctor. I had to study a few more years. But I've always been driven by helping people. So I tried to figure other ways that I could, you know, use my, not necessarily, you know, my medical hands-on skills, but my skills in order to be able to help people. So I got working into corporate. So my very first job in Ireland was working for Microsoft. I speak 5 languages. So that's how I got to work there. And I was working, I've worked in various customer facing roles. And in the meantime, you know, I still had the itch. So I was far away from my family. I was kind of free to do and explore whatever I wanted to explore. So I got into entrepreneurship, as in e-commerce. So I thought, okay, so what's the quickest way to have a business? So I started back in 2015. I had my first kids, and while on maternity leave, I was like, I'm gonna open my first online business. And it was an online flower shop. So the way I operate, usually I set a few milestones for myself. And I was like, if this business allows me to pay the crash for the little one by the time that the maternity leave ends, then, you know, I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to quit my day job, my career in corporate, and I'm just going to entirely focus. So it didn't pan out. And it was pretty much the same with all the other businesses that I had. So I started exploring other areas. From an online flower shop, I moved into selling on my own website organic teas. I sold on Amazon. I've tried drop shipping. I've tried selling stock that I had at home. It was, you know, it was quite an adventure. But while it was fun and, you know, I enjoyed what I had as a side gig all the time, I got frustrated because every time I had a business, it got killed. And it usually got killed by the competition. So I used to have this huge notebooks where I would figure out my products, right? My prices, my margins, the products and the prices, and potentially the margins of my competitors. And that became a very undoable task. So as you might potentially know, you know, us entrepreneurs, we always look for ways to make our life easier. And I just started questioning myself, why can't a machine or a computer do this for me? Because it kind of like it, whatever this task would be for a human, the computer should be able to do it so much quicker. Why can't a machine learn from me the way that I like things done, get that information, figure out my margins, change my prices where required? So I started going around looking for potential tools like this. All the tools were focused on enterprises. I obviously couldn't afford an enterprise solution. So that's how I came about Margins AI. So Margins AI is a price intelligence platform powered by artificial intelligence, where we serve the e-commerce businesses, helping them to price and reprice their products automatically, simultaneously, on multiple channels, according to their competitors, market trends, consumer behavior, seasonality. So it all started with a pain, and it got, you know, I went through a journey where this is now a product.
I love that. And I love the fact that you've identified through your own trials and tribulations, the pain point that you're trying to solve, right? And isn't that the genesis of a great business? If the others are experiencing the same problem that you're experiencing, it should be able to scale. It should succeed, because the intricacies of what you've described and making sure that you're sourcing the product right, that your margins are right, that it's updated on all these various platforms and e-commerce tools, that in itself is a full-time job. You could almost hire a staff of people just to keep on top of that. And that's obviously where Margins AI comes in. And am I right in from what you're saying? Because you mentioned that initially you looked at sort of enterprise solutions, which possibly weren't in your sort of radar at that time, or maybe not right size for the business that you were. So are you focused exclusively on SMEs now? Is that sort of the core audience for your product?
Yes, that is correct. So initially I was very romantic, right? From having my own business to helping other super small businesses to figure this out, I kind of opened myself up a bit, and I'm happy to be able to cater for the smaller businesses. But when you build something very powerful, you want to open the door for bigger companies as well. And I think a few of our USPs are also, you know, born from my pain points. So what we aim to do is we aim to allow the customers to self-onboard. So from signing up to, you know, using the tool, they are able to do that within 24 hours. Where, and I'm one of those people who talk to their competitors. So I actually had a few cheeky calls, you know, with my competitors trying to come across as a potential customer of theirs. So I found out that vast majority of tools, even those that are not necessarily targeted toward enterprises, have a very lengthy onboarding where it would take months for you to be able to use the tool as a user. I wanted to avoid that. And so far, so good. We've been very successful at that.
Yeah, and I think you've hit on another pain point, because with a lot of enterprise software, although it's very, very complex, it's also very wide, and it takes a lot of knowledge to actually deploy it effectively. And I'm thinking to some of the software tools, enterprise level tools that I've used over the years, you're probably only using a fraction of what they're capable of doing. And there is a steep learning curve that's required in order to leverage those. So I think that's another pain point in itself. And I wanted to ask you as well about the journey that you were describing to our audience a moment ago. Do you think working at brands like Microsoft that you mentioned, I know you worked at Tableau, another well-known global brand, places like Sage, who focus on large and a lot of the SME market in a software space. And of course, you've got your own experiences of the e-commerce world. But do you think those experiences have helped you in terms of being the founder and CEO now of Margins AI? Do they play a part in sort of the thinking there? Because you've worked with some very big software companies.
Absolutely. And coming from a non-technical or non-software background, I was shocked when I started working with Microsoft. I was shocked how much do they love their customers and how customer focused they are. So I think this is one thing that I've learned there, process, but customer focus. So all the processes are built around the customers. When it comes to Tableau, you also mentioned that I got to understand how big data is, how cool data is, and how precious it is. So how data can be leveraged in order to facilitate certain processes for customers. And for Sage, I got to learn a lot about the market. So I started working with the German market, but I kind of transitioned to the UK and the Irish market. So this, you know, knowledge that I had around the markets, the customers, and the data had definitely enabled me to be where I am right now. And I think Margins AI, when I started building it, even before, the main homework that I've done is talking to potential customers, understanding if there's a need, you know, so doing the customer discovery, or the way that I say it, you know, just selling thin air. So you don't have anything, you don't have a product, you don't have even a prototype, you just have an idea and you're trying to validate this. And through that process and going into building the product, we always had the customers first. So whatever we built, it had been customer led. So, and when I say that there's definitely a balance between, you know, the roadmap and whatever the customers say, but especially for the initial, very initial phases of the development, the customers had a lot to say. Translate for myself to translate from, how do you do it? What's your pain point? How are you solving this? How manual is it? What's the worst part? And then figuring out how the solution can come in and, you know, solve this issue with the minimum intervention or the minimum, you know, stake for their business, you know. And to reiterate, the experience that I had working for those big companies did definitely enable me to get where I am today.
That's great. Thanks for linking that up for us. It makes a lot of sense. And that sort of shake or that friction that you're referring to as well, that companies experience, I think that's a very valid point. And so I want to ask you a little bit about entrepreneurship, because that word's come up a little bit. And you're no stranger to entrepreneurship, you know, you're no stranger to setting up a business. But often, you know, it can be a daunting task. It can be challenging. Some people say it can be quite lonely. You've obviously got some good people around you. You've got some good support. You've got some, you know, investors, etc. So what inspires you? Have people helped you along the way? You know, are there people that you admire or that you look up to in the entrepreneurial world? But what is it that drives you on each day, Anastasia?
Oof, that's a very hard question. Especially that I love talking about, you know, entrepreneurship. And this is something that I'm trying to promote. I'm actually quite often invited to hold, you know, lessons and lectures in Dublin, speaking to students about entrepreneurship. What does it mean to be an entrepreneur? How do you take an idea or a pain and transform it into a business? And what does it take to be an entrepreneur? So you did mention that entrepreneurship can be a lonely journey. And honestly, it is. And take it from me, my husband is an entrepreneur as well. We have two separate businesses. So we kind of both are in the same bubble, but very different. So he's got co-founders. I haven't had a co-founder for many, many years. And that was a real problem for me. I didn't have anyone to bounce ideas off. I didn't have anyone to share, you know, the journey, the pains and the gains and all of that. So this is why I'm trying to, I've noticed that a lot of this is missing, you know, in today's world. So this is why I'm very open to talking to other people about the experience of being an entrepreneur, about how important it is to speak up, to advocate for your idea, no matter where you go. You're like, "Ooh, I did this. I'm actually an entrepreneur. You know, I'm on this crazy journey." So if you find that I'm a bit weird, or, you know, I'm a bit unusual, it's because I'm an entrepreneur, you know. I get a lot of inspiration from my kids. So they are very interested in what we do at home. Well, at home, myself and their dad as well. So I get a lot of questions around, you know, what's your business? How do you explain, you know, AI to a 5 years old, or showing them around how we train the algorithms, for example, you know, and trying to make this really, really accessible, talking the kids through what an investment means, or how can they make an investment at their age, you know, for example, buying an iPad with their pocket money, and then, you know, having a full game and sharing it with their friends, and, you know, collecting maybe a year or two. So that would be an investment, something that would bring money back. So I'm also very driven by the fact that, you know, the kids are being used in an environment where we're both ambitious, hardworking, but we also have the time to spend with them. So I really want them, you know, when they're going to grow up, to say, "Oh, wow, those two people that raised us, they were crazy, but they somehow made it, and they had, you know, the time and the energy to push in, like, all the babies, so the human babies and the business babies as well." So I think, you know, it's probably a very unusual motivation. But I do believe that it might resonate with a lot of women, especially in business and entrepreneurship.
I really like that. I actually love what you've said there, Anastasia, because it is wonderful to hear about that environment, because I'm sure that's quite a different environment for a lot of children growing up. And what a great exposure that they have early on to that. Of course, having two entrepreneurial business owners as parents, I'm sure helps. But also the ability in today's world, I suppose, to pretty much set up shop, work from anywhere on the planet, you know, good broadband and a smart idea can really help these days. And it is wonderful to hear you saying that. And I think it's an inspiration for lots of people, because many people are sort of doing the commute, living in the cubicle world, and they just know that maybe this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And I think what you're demonstrating there, if I can be so bold, is a real different way of approaching life, you know. And I'm sure it's difficult. I'm sure that it's behind the scenes, it's not as easy as it sounds. It never is for any of us. But it is wonderful to hear that. So thank you for giving us that insight and that little inspiration, because it's obviously a key motivator. So thank you. What about, you mentioned that you're teaching, or you're asked to speak, you know, to lecture, to help people get advice. But I want to maybe turn that around a little bit and ask you the question about, have you picked up some advice along your journey? Or is there any sort of advice that you want to share with us, whether it's about entrepreneurial ventures or anything in life? But when I ask you the question, what's some really great advice that sticks with you? What would spring to mind, Anastasia?
Yeah, and that's actually that I'm trying to share with the students every time. So I call it the secret recipe to success, and it has a few ingredients. So what I personally advocate for, right, is a few things that an entrepreneur should, if not have, then be able to cultivate within themselves. And the very first one is resilience. Okay. So if you are not resilient, this is not for you. And I'll be honest with you. First time I was asked about resilience, I had no idea what the term means. I was like, yeah, I'm probably resilient. And, you know, people are like, no, you're definitely resilient, you know? So if you have resilience, if you are able to bounce back from whatever circumstances, you know, happen to be, if you take failure as a just a stepping stone, something that you can learn from, and that's what the students also like, because I have a few slides where I outline all my businesses, all the e-commerce businesses that I had before Margins AI, and I say, so this is what I've learned, and this is why it failed. And I clearly demonstrate that it took me 5 attempts to get to Margins AI. And if I wasn't resilient, probably I wouldn't be where I am. I would have been, you know, back in the cubicle, as you say ish. So definitely resilience. Another one is consistency. So being an entrepreneur, it means that you're going to be chief everything officer. So you'll have to be everywhere in all the areas of the business. And you can get lost, you know. You'd be like doing one thing at this time, and the next 5 minutes you could be doing something else. And that involves also a lot of procrastination. And that is not good. That happens. That's not the best thing that can happen to an entrepreneur. So I usually hold on to the consistency part. So if I feel that I'm all over the place, or, you know, situation is overwhelming, or I'm going into procrastination, I'm like, okay, I need to be consistent. I will tick my boxes, and then I'm gonna allow myself to do what my mind or my body wants to do, rest or procrastinate, or, you know, read something. So I am consistent in what I do every day. So I set a minimum standard for my consistency, and I'm gonna push for this today. Tomorrow, I'll do more if I can. If not, but there's a few things that need to be done. Another thing is hard work. So I strongly believe that there are people that have this inborn talent, right? And I'm sad to say, but I'm not one of those. You know, I'm not one of those geniuses. There's not one single particular area that I'm super good at. So I know that I can actually compete with those inborn talents by putting in the hard work. So if I am consistent, I'm resilient, and I put in the hard work, then that's what's going to make me be able to compete and, you know, even be better than those inborn talents that are out there. And then the last, but probably the most important ingredient to the secret sauce to success is definitely have fun. So if you're not having fun, then why are you even doing it? If you're not enjoying, if it's a pain, just drop it, you know, do something else. So I'm trying to have fun every day. I'm just, no matter how bad it is, my day might go, you know, the wrong way, I'm still trying to squeeze in a little bit of fun so that, you know, it feels a bit different. It gives more purpose. It gives you another perspective.
Well, you've really unpacked some great gems there for our audience. I love them all. The consistency, I think, really important. And I love the term, the chief everything officer. Just that little watch out to make sure that you're not becoming that chief everything officer and that you're pulling yourself back to that little bit of consistency. But it sounds as though you're doing the smart thing, which you're also balancing that with, well, sometimes I just need to do what I feel like doing, you know, and there's a little bit of that too. And I think the resilience as well, you were mentioning again, when you're speaking to people in groups, that showing the failures, because often we see the finished shiny article, don't we? And we see the successful person. And of course, we can talk about your successes all day long. But sometimes when you unpack those failures and you show, well, this is the great idea I had, and this is why I think it didn't work, and this is what I learned from that, and you can follow the dots across that entrepreneurial landscape, isn't it often when we fail that we learn the most, really? I think that's really true. You know, it's very easy to look good when things are going really, really well. But I think you do your most learning when things aren't necessarily going well, or when something fails. You really learn from that, don't you?
Absolutely. And there's also this concept about why, you know, resilience and entrepreneurship actually leads to potential success if you're consistent. So it's research shows that basically entrepreneurs that go for it and fail and go for it again, they develop a capacity to connect the dot based on all their previous experiences and knowledge gathered in like this different areas. So you know that you, most of the times, you know, a failed entrepreneur is not going to go for the same idea or solving same very same problem every time. So they would shift a little bit. So they would gather more perspective and more knowledge. So once you start building upon this, you start to get a larger view on what's going on, be that markets, be that, you know, trends, be that politics, policies, governments, and so on and so forth. So then you start to connect all those dots and new ideas and, you know, new business opportunities arise. So for all the entrepreneurs that are out there are, you know, either don't know where to start or are failing, just put in the work so that you can start connecting the dots.
Yeah, and you mentioned hard work, didn't you? And you were talking about, you know, you've got to put in the work. And I think there are some people that talk about that. And then there's this other culture of hard work where people sort of are almost proud to be working around the clock, to not be sleeping, maybe to doing things that aren't healthy or helpful. But I think when you talked about hard work, what I really like as well is the next thing you mentioned was having fun and also doing things and making sure that you're having fun in what you do. And you know, balancing that hard work. But I understand what you're also saying, which is, you know, there's an Elon Musk and a Jeff Bezos, and you know, there's lots of these successful people that we could look to, you know, the Steve Jobs of this world.
Sam Altman, even
yeah,
the
exactly.
big guy
Sam Altman at
himself.
OpenAI. Yeah, great example. Particularly in your line of work, Sam would be a great example. And there are really smart people on the planet, right? But ultimately, as in the entrepreneur world, as you quite rightly say, you've got to put the work in somewhere along the line. The hard work is part of it, isn't it? It's part of that journey. So thank you for talking about consistency and resilience and hard work and fun. And I shall try to not be the chief everything officer most days, because that can lead us down a path we don't want to end up on.
Absolutely.
Sharing that. Look, before we run out of time, Anastasia, it's been so great to hear about your journey, about the business, and about sort of the things that inspire you and advice that you share. But I want to ask you, is there anything else that maybe we haven't touched on or anything you want to share with our worldwide audience today? And secondly, and importantly, if people want to find out more about Margins AI, more about the business, more about your speaking, or just get in touch, where's the best place to point people to that want to reach out and connect?
To answer your first question, I think we haven't discussed the other people. So I think for entrepreneurs, there's two group of people that are important. First one is your network, peers, investors, customers, potential customers. Just make sure as an entrepreneur, to all the entrepreneurs that are watching and listening, make sure that you surround yourself with the good people, with people that are at least in some areas better than you. So learn from those people, connect with those people, try to stay in, you know, in line with what's going on in the industry. I have this concept, and I think there's a it's someone who's who you've interviewed previously, James Flynn from Koso AI. So we see this thing as, you know, budding startups. So when James started, I was a bit more advanced, let's call it, in my startup. So we kind of clicked, and we regularly check in, and we discuss issues and how do we approach those issues? So we're both in AI, somewhat similar, in other terms, very different businesses. So find yourself like-minded people that might be able to give you another perspective on what you're doing, or someone could be open enough to share their struggles as well. So that's for the network people. The other people, the personal life people, are important as well. Probably as important or even more important than your network. If you surround yourself with people that are, they don't necessarily have to understand what you're doing. And I think the vast majority of my friends, even after all these years, have no idea what I'm doing. And they would ask me, you know, periodically, just check in. So can you remind me again, well, what is that thing that you're building? You know, so they don't necessarily have to get your business, but they should be there to, you know, help out when you're, or like recharge your batteries when you're feeling down, support you whenever you need. If you are a parent, someone who could just take the kids for the weekend and say, just go and have some fun or rest or get your sleep in, or, you know, put in that application. So that's absolutely pivotal for entrepreneurs. And nonetheless, your life partner. So choose yourself a life partner that knows how to cope with entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are very volatile. They can, you know, it's a roller coaster. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. So if you're not happy at home with the person that is, if you're not, you know, supported, if they're not your biggest advocate, who's going to be? You're definitely not going to go and work and, you know, have all that resource and, you know, be happy and be ready to take on another day. You won't get that inspiration from your network or your investors or your customers or your co-founders. You do need that one person there that's going to say, ah, even if you fail, it's still grand, you know, you're going to make it. We're going to be fine.
I love that. I like that. And thank you for mentioning James Flynn as well. Yes, he has been a guest on this show, and he's like yourself, he's in that AI sort of ecosystem world. Before we go on to the last part, which is about how people can connect with you or find out more about your business, I did want to ask you something that sprang to mind as you were talking, which was your viewpoint on that ecosystem, on the startup community, on the AI and technology community. Obviously, you're headquartered in Dublin, Ireland, but what's your view of the landscape in that environment?
I think when it comes to Ireland, it's pretty tight-knit. And I think, I better said, I can't think of anyone I've ever reached out to that wasn't open to help. There's a lot of young people doing amazing stuff. I think everyone is pretty transparent with everything that they're going through. And that is amazing. I was talking to a fellow entrepreneur that actually failed and had to close down their business. And they were so open in sharing their experience. And this is something that I haven't seen anywhere else. We are, you know, it's a small place. Dublin, it's a small place, especially for us entrepreneurs that, you know, we're not that many. And I think everyone has been so helpful and so supportive. And you do, you know, rub elbows with everyone every now and then. And it's really an amazing place to you know, to have a startup and be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing that. And I would agree. And I think the sheer talent and the exuberance in the sector it's really palpable. And also, I think the access seems to me to be easier here than, say, in central London or in New York. You seem to be able to access people and to access that real helpful knowledge, maybe a little bit easier. Maybe that's the little bit of magic that's in that ecosystem here. But look, let's not finish without mentioning, if people want to reach out and find out more about the company, get in touch, find out about you speaking, where's the best place that we can point people to today, Anastasia?
Two best places, actually three. My email is anastasia@marginsai.com. You can also find a contact form on our website, marginsai.com. Or you can just send me a message on LinkedIn, Anastasia Negro.
Well, that's perfect. And look, that brings us nicely and wonderfully to the end of this episode of the Global Discussion. I want to thank everybody who's watching or listening to us around the world. Make sure that you follow, like, subscribe, do everything I need you to do to help support the show. And of course, go and check out Margins AI and everything that Anastasia's doing. We certainly would appreciate that. And all that's left for me to do is to ask you to join me back here for some more discussions with creatives and leaders and thinkers just like Anastasia. Thank you, Anastasia. It's been wonderful to catch up with you again today.
Thanks so much, Simon.